When I asked you about how you ended up here spiritually, did anybody have a person in your life that you sort of reaching back, give God thanks for today, for that experience? Anybody? Terrell?
Grandma.
Grandma, good. Excellent. Who else?
My grandmother.
Grandmother? Let's hear it for grandmoms. Anybody here grandmoms today? Any grandmoms? Raise those hands up. Oh, I see those grandmoms. That's awesome. Thank you for what you do to help share the good news about Jesus with your family and friends and neighbors. Who else had an experience in the past that sort of helped you along your road? Yes, Rebecca. Your dad? Wonderful. Great. Anybody else? Yes, Pam?
A youth leader.
A youth leader? Excellent. Good. Lenore?
My mother and father.
Mother and father. Very good. Well, we give God thanks for these people. And sometimes, you know, it might be worth just to pause during a week, during a day, have a downtime. Movie on TV is kind of boring. Just pause for a moment. Say, God, thank you so much for that person, that relative, that grandmom, that parent, that youth leader, mom and dad, for leading us to where we are today. Because none of us get here by accident. As we think about our world history, we know there's lots of heroes in our history. Say in the United States, who are some historical people that we can give thanks for? George Washington. Yes, anybody else?
Lincoln.
Lincoln, good guy. Who else?
Thomas Jefferson,
Eisenhower. Yep, we've gone down the president path. That there are others. How about Thomas Edison? Now, he was kind of rude. And he didn't treat his assembly line workers very nice. But hey, lights, movies, sound recordings, all Thomas Edison. We also remember here in our own local history, Harriet Tubman. There's a house that's being constructed down on the island, the Harriet Tubman Museum, that many people in our community are working towards. And anybody wants to contribute toward that worthy community effort, that could just be awesome. Another way to send over some of your love for the community. But Harriet Tubman, awesome person in our nation's history that helped deliver people in slavery to freedom from darkness to light along the Underground Railroad that passed right by here. And so we have lots of people in our past to give thanks for. But there's also a couple really lousy people in history, right? Like Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini. Can we think of others? Who's that? Chow, sure, yep, thank you. And of course, I mentioned with the children today, we have evil Haman. Any boos go up for Haman? Oh my gosh, I've been in a Jewish celebration of Purim. I was just an invited guest, a whole bunch of people from the community, and they actually do that. Every time, and maybe it's in there, maybe a dozen times in the story. And so Haman, boo! And then Haman, boo! And people just really get into that because we don't like cheering for the bad guy. In fact, we love, but there are lots of bad guys in our history, and we also put them in our stories. You know, we remember Voldemort from Harry Potter. How about the Phantom and Phantom of the Opera? We have other things such as the White Witch in the Chronicles of Narnia. And there are so many other stories from the Joker and Batman. We have Dracula. And Gollum from J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series. Lots of bad guys. And the bad guys are always, just inevitably, pictured as being in darkness. And if it was a scale from like total darkness, black hole kind of darkness, you know, to ultimate light, like picture the light of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration that was so bright. In fact, I wonder if we had drones or satellites back then, I wonder if way out in space we might not have seen that transfiguration on that mountain when Jesus lit up in all his glory. I bet we could have. And so if we have a scale from ultimate brightness, say Jesus, to ultimate darkness, say we don't know anybody that would be ultimate darkness, but maybe Satan, the personality of Satan we might put there, but in that black hole, These people that we might call evil, like Haman, would be somewhere along this continuum. And where would you be if we went from black hole darkness to beauty, bright glory of Jesus' light? Where would you put yourself along the continuum?
Somewhere in the middle.
That's what I was going to say. It's the inevitable bell curve. Yes, the bell curve works in almost every area of life, and maybe spiritually you're thinking the same thing. Well, I'm no saint, even though Paul, the apostle, calls us all saints. Sure, there's St. Thomas and St. Joseph, and there's all sorts of saints that we name in our own experience with scriptures, and in other, like the same, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, has different saints that they lift up, men and women both. But actually, the scriptures say you're a saint. Now, you're also sinners. No offense. And I'm a sinner. But we're also saints. And that means that we're people of the light. So that if we were to look deep inside us, we wouldn't see heavy darkness and clouds of misery. Sin and evil. Sin, yes, but those heavy, dark things would not be within us because God, when we had those stories about Jesus from grandmom or a youth leader or from another family member or a pastor, when we heard those stories of Jesus and we took Jesus' story into our heart, the light of Jesus began brightening us from the inside out. Now, looking at us, none of us need sunglasses when we look at each other. We're not that bright. But we do know that somewhere in our spiritual life, even though the light of Christ burns brightly within us who belong to Jesus, we probably place ourselves somewhere in the middle. So no matter how back total darkness is and how far away Jesus is in light, we probably are right about here. So comparatively speaking, remember that neighbor that you used to live next to years and years ago growing up and he stole your lunch money on the way to school? Yeah, that guy. Actually, Melissa, who has an eye infection for the last couple days, which is why she's not here today. She's doing better, but didn't want to bring her germs to church. Practicing healthy community practice. She had a bully in school who used to take her lunch money, and it was a girl. A girl bully. Yeah, girls and boys both be bullies. Well, comparatively between the ultimate dark and ultimate light, you know, the bully maybe only be here. And we're here. Because the range way, way over there is so far back, and the range of Jesus' light is so far ahead, that actually most of us, even that bully, even Mussolini or Stalin or Adolf Hitler, well, not ultimate dark, but darker than us, darker than the bully that stole the lunch money, but you know, well, not probably as bad as someone else that we might think of. And so sometimes we go through life thinking that life is just a continuum and the steps in between don't really matter. The increments that measure dark to light don't really fit on the scale because the differences from our point of view are so small. And so we can go through our spiritual life by taking baby steps, incremental steps, and as long as the steps are in the right direction, it's a step worth taking. So if there's something that you can build into your life this Lenten season, do it anytime. But hey, it's Lent, so let's talk about building it into our life during the next few weeks. If there's something that you can build into your life, read the scriptures more. They already read the scriptures. Well, great. Don't compare yourself. Don't judge yourself. And certainly no one else judges you. But as you just think about it, gee, I wonder if I just read just another 5 minutes every day, even if you do the old open the Bible and point and read. And that's why you have the insert during Lent on the purple page where you can actually read some verses of scripture. And maybe you'd say, during Lent, I'm going to read these daily verses. It may only take you 5 minutes. Well, whatever you choose to do, just know that how small that increment is for you, it's a step from darkness into light, from night to light. And again, looking back, you say, oh man, I'm not doing much. Well, it's a step in the right direction, moving from darkness to light, from night to light. Of course, we can also take steps the other way. But we can also maybe make some bad choices in our life. And those choices, although we're still in Christ, and Christ's light shines brightly inside us, sometimes on the outside you're not seeing much. And sometimes we prefer the shadows to the light because in the shadow we can't really tell where we are. And we'd rather not know because either we're embarrassed or we're just disappointed in ourselves, or for whatever reason, we kind of prefer being in the shadow sometimes. That's just less stressful. We don't have to wonder and worry. But just know that the light of Jesus dispels the darkness. Not so that we can be judged and feel bad, but so that we can at least notice where we are, so that we can take a new step into the light. It doesn't matter how many steps back we've taken. It doesn't matter how dark we may feel, or, oh boy, look at that person. They're really living in the light. Look at me. I'm miserable. Well, fine. You're miserable. You don't have to stay miserable. You could actually say, stop right here, and tomorrow I'm going to take a step toward the light. And if you're really courageous, you'd say, this very minute, I'm going to take a step toward the light. Maybe a small little incremental step will say, hey, you know, next time we sing a hymn, Pastor Kevin picks weird hymns. You know, that's what I hear. I pick them, and I know some of them are weird. But listen, they're hymns. We only got our book, you know. We pick what we got. Sometimes we pick a winner, and sometimes we don't. Well, just say, whatever. I'm going to give you permission right now that if you want to hum during a hymn, you can do that. You don't even have to be a vocalist to do that. You just have to be a hummer. And so you can hum during a hymn. So maybe you say, I don't like singing those hymns. Well, don't sing those hymns. Hum those hymns. Yeah, hum to yourself. Put a smile on your face. And maybe you say, Pastor Kevin picks weird hymns. Okay, so listen, next time a hymn comes around and it's a little too hard to sing and even too hard to hum, have you ever tried tapping your foot? Da, 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 da. Well, anyway, a small incremental change. Maybe you could even do it during today's service. Just do something a little different. Maybe you'll, instead of rushing out of the building, you'll go ahead and say hi to someone. And remember, say, don't touch. And so in our experience, there are things that we can get caught up in that our actions and behaviors, we can just trap ourselves. We get in bad moods. We feel bad. The dog pees on the carpet again. We have a friend who just ignores us just constantly. Oh, boy, is that irritating. Oh, man. Or maybe there's someone who just disappoints you a lot. It might even be somebody on your favorite TV show. Why do they have to go ahead and die? They killed my favorite character. Well, don't get upset about it. Just know that how we respond to things in our life could be a step toward darkness. Not way back there, but it could just be an incremental step where we get a little sloppy, we get a little careless, we get a little easy. Oh, it's so much easier to be mean at somebody. It's so much easier just to be angry at somebody. It's so much easier to beat myself up and be depressed about my own growth. I'll just take a step back. But I hope today you'll realize that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he didn't have all the answers. He came to Jesus at night. He was Nick at night. And Nick at night shows up to see Jesus because he was too embarrassed to do it during the day. And so even in the nighttime, Nicodemus is attracted to the light. And how much did he do? Well, after Jesus explains about you have to be born again, and you have to be born from above, and that those who have the Spirit give birth to the Spirit, and those who just pay attention to the flesh or darkness just reflect the darkness in the flesh. Nicodemus says, what? What? I don't understand this. And then Jesus kind of plays with him a little bit. He says, and you're a teacher of Israel? And you can't understand even fleshly things? And you want to come here and talk to me about the Spirit? Come on, Nick. Get it together. And so Nick that night took a small step. He came to Jesus, which was a huge step, but it was still at night. And so Nick is still over here. He sees Jesus' light. He's a little afraid to jump in. And he just moves just a little bit. Oh, I have to be born again. It's about the Spirit inside. And so Jesus is telling me that I have to focus on the inside working out, not the outside working in. It's not how I act in the world, it's how I am in the world. It's being, not doing. And then our actions reflect what's inside instead of trying to convert our insides based on our actions. And so at the end of that evening, I don't know, Nick may have moved this much. All right, you're right. Maybe not even that much. Maybe this much. But you know what? It changed Nick's life. Because moving just another step and another step toward the light opened up Nick's life to possibilities. He started treating other people differently. He started regarding people's spirit and how he could offend or hurt someone's spirit. And treating people nice and dignity and respect, Nicodemus began to learn that Jesus was speaking about something transformational, that bright light is meant to permeate all of life. And Nicodemus appears two other times in Scripture. Both stories about Nicodemus at the cross. And Nicodemus is the one who helped prepare Jesus' body for burial. Nicodemus got it that night. He didn't go from there, way over to there. He took a step toward the light, because every step toward the light is a step from the night into the light. Will you take a step with me today? A step towards the light? Let's pray.